Westside family. My name is Eric Johnson, and I serve on the production team. Thanks for joining us for this week's message. We hope you are blessed by what God has been speaking to us through our pastors and leaders, and we pray this leads you into an even more intimate relationship with Jesus. Love you guys, and enjoy.
On my heart. Most of the time on Sunday mornings, I don't come to you in a teaching format. It's a bit of teaching, a bit of preaching, a bit of talking. But I have really been feeling the need to teach. I can give you all the biblical motivational speeches to tickle your fancy that I can. But if you really don't know the Word of God, and if you really don't know why people preach what they preach, because preaching is not teaching, then I'm not doing you a service. I'm really not. I'm making you feel good at a moment in your life, or maybe I'm giving you a little bit of insight at a specific moment in your life. But if you jump back to the early church, what you find at the end of Acts is the early church was built off of what the Bible calls a doctrine. And it's called the Apostles' Doctrine. And when you look at doctrine, what you come across is teaching. You come across biblical teaching that can be applied to the way that one should live. And so I'm going to take a couple few weeks and teach on Romans. And I'm sure there's going to be some you know, typical messages preached in here or in the future, but for whatever reason, and I don't know for how long, I'm really feeling the need to teach the Bible, because it's the knowledge of the Word of God that is going to enable us, equip us, and allow us to do, be, and experience everything that God has for us. Right on? So we're jumping into Romans. I'm just giving you the intro to Romans today. I don't think it'll be too long. I think it'll be short and sweet, but I could be wrong. I didn't want to actually dive into the actual verses of Romans today. That combined with the intro would be a bit long. So I just want to give you the intro to Romans, and this is some good knowledge for your children to hear as well. So when you think of Romans, when you hear the word Romans and you think of Romans, there is, at least for me, there is a few immediate things that comes to mind. For me, it's kind of based off of media, movies, stories, not really a historical reference. And like, for example, one of the things that I think of when talking about Rome or Romans is the centurions or the soldiers. We got a pic up here of the Roman centurions. Them dressed out in their battle array. They have their helmet on and their breastplate and usually a sword, and they got their shin and their knee guards and their girdles. And they look like, and they were, ferocious warriors. And it was through the Roman soldiers that Rome was able to build an empire that stretched across a large area of Europe. Another thing you think of is what took place in the Roman Colosseum, battles in the Colosseum. Now, oftentimes you would have soldiers, or what we would call gladiators, not soldiers, gladiators, and they would fight lions, they would fight bears. To a worst-case scenario, they also would take Christians, and they would put Christians without weapons into the Colosseum, and then bystanders would watch, laugh, cheer, get excited over wild beasts tearing apart the flesh of Christians in the Roman Colosseum. Another big thing that we think about, which kind of hits home to our area because we are this area, this community is dominantly Catholic, is Catholicism, a religion that came out of Rome again that has spread across the world. So there's a lot of things that we can think of when we think of Rome or we think about the Romans. But when you look at Rome in the context of the Bible, you see something that is really, really interesting. when you study out Roman culture in the Bible, what you really see and begin to witness is not what you really see in the movies or the stories, like I just mentioned, but what you see is a culture that is just kind of eerily similar to our culture. There's things that occurred in biblical Roman culture that is occurring today in our, not just our country, but in our world. And what makes this so interesting is, or what makes this book relevant for us today, is the knowledge that was presented to, well, that was to the people in Rome, is the same knowledge that would be important for us to hear, consider, and apply to our life today. Like, for instance, in that time, some of the issues that they were facing in Rome was anti-government issues. We definitely have anti-government issues that is occurring in our nation. Violence and crime was at an all-time high. They loved violence. Like, violence was a thrill, a joy. They were excited when gladiators killed or were killed in the Colosseum. They loved violence so much that they actually took Christians, put them up on stakes, and burnt them to light some of the streets in Rome. They loved violence. The more violent, the more better. That type of violence led to a lot of crime. So they was having issues with violence and crime. And it's no joke. And in our country today, we deal with major issues of violence. Violence on the streets, violence in our schools, violence in our homes, violence throughout media. And we're talking about unhealthy violence, mass murderers, horrors, things of that nature. Another thing they were, another issue they was having was kids disrespecting, disobeying parents, a separation between the family unit as God intended it. I think it's safe to say we are seeing a lot of that occurring in our society today. There was sexual immorality. If I'm not mistaken, it was either 13 or 14 Roman emperors that was homosexual. And it was just rampant. Like, whatever pleased them, they did. Sexuality was not based off biblical marriage. It was based off social pleasures. And in our society today, what we have is sexuality has lost its sacredness. I was just talking to someone this week about this. How sexuality used to be sacred. It used to be private. A very intimate affair between a husband and a wife. But yet now sexuality is very widespread, very open, and really anything goes as long as you're not hurting someone or abusing someone. And it was really the same thing in Roman culture. Tax evasion was an issue in Roman culture at this time. Aggression against God's children, whether that be bloodline children or adopted children. In other words, whether that be Jews or Christians. There was a point that 40,000 Jews was kicked out of Rome. There was another point, and I just mentioned this, that Christians were heavily persecuted, forced to fight wild beasts, beheaded, put on stakes, burnt alive, had oil poured on them so that they can be a natural burning light on the outside. And if you really dive deep into what is happening in our nation, there is becoming more and more aggression against children of God in our nation than there ever has been. Now, there's always been aggression against the children of God worldwide. But in general, in our nation in general, historically has been a safe haven for children of God. But it's becoming less and less and less. We are becoming a byword. We are becoming an offense. Just our views alone have created aggression against us. We don't have to offend people. We don't have to attack people. All we have to do is state that we believe something is wrong or we believe something is right, and then there is a group, a sect of people that will aggressively come against us. So what we are dealing with in today's society is extremely similar to what Rome was dealing with. Now, jumping to the next little section of this talk today, when you look at Romans in the Bible, it's called a book. But in all reality, it was not a book. Romans in the Bible was a letter from a man named Paul, who used to be named Saul, the Apostle Paul. And it was a letter that was longer than the average letter. So back in that day, letters was common. It was like people would write letters to one another, and they would write them on scrolls. The average letter was between 20 and 200 words, easy to carry. It was kind of rare for there to be a really large letter. There was some, but not a lot. Paul's average letter, because Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament, Paul's average letter was 1,300 words, which was a little bit heavier. But Paul's letter to the Romans was 7,000 words. It's the longest ancient letter that we have today from history. Who's a kid in here you think you're strong? You think you're strong in the back? The one in the middle. She raised her. You want to come up here to the stage? I'm only getting girls raising their hands. We got some strong girls. You got to come up here to the stage. You'll see. Come on up here. Give her a good hand as she jumps up here on the stage. Come on. There you go. So, come right here. So when you think about letters, you think about, you know, pieces of paper, cost a few cents, not a little few more cents nowadays, to mail, nothing easy. But back in the day, letters was heavy. And the longer the letter, the heavier they were. Let me stick your hands out. Stick your arms out like that. That's not too bad, right? That's easy. Like, you could walk with that down to Circle K in Wasco. All right. Yeah, she's showing out now. But let's say someone wanted to keep writing the letter. There's like, this is so important. We just want to keep writing. It's not too bad. A little heavier, right? You can still make it down to Circle K for that Slurpee. But it's going to be a little bit harder. Now, let's say someone's like, I'm not finished writing this letter. I have more to say. This is so important. Then they add some more words to that letter. She's doing all right. And you can still make it down to Circle K, but your legs is going to get a little bit tired, and you're going to really work for that Slurpee. But then let's say you have a friend who's like, oh, I didn't tell her about this thing that happened in my life that she needs to know. So she writes more words. And you're spinning, but you're not spinning as fast, are you? And then your friend just gets the greatest idea to end the letter. They got to have a great closing. And then they add 2,000 more words. And now, oh, that's a little bit heavier, right? And you would say, because this is so many words and so heavy, either that person who wrote that letter to you was really mean, or it was what they had to say was really important, right? Thank you. Give her a good hand. So So this letter with 7,000 words was actually heavy. And the reason they made them lighter as opposed to heavier is, guess what? They didn't have cars back then. They didn't have bicycles, didn't have motorcycles. If they was rich, they might have had a horse. If they was a little lesser than that, they might have used a mule. But the average person had their 2 feet and hostile terrain. So carrying scrolls that amounted to a decent amount of weight became a challenge, especially if they were walking 20 to 30 miles a day. So if someone had to write something that was really heavy to carry, what it really signified is what they had to say was either urgent or very important. And that's one of the takeaways that we can see in Romans. Such a long letter, not because Paul just had a bunch of stuff to say and he was in the mood to write. Paul was actually a very level man. Not a lot of ups and downs that you can see through Scripture. So what you get is Paul was writing a letter that was extremely important and extremely urgent because of the times they were in and because of the occurrences that was happening in Rome. And because we as a culture are facing very similar issues and activities, I think it's safe to say that the heaviness of this letter is just as important to us today. Now, why would it be important? I'm just going to give you one idea. There's multiple theories, but the one idea that seems the most practical and logical to me of why this letter would be so important is because of Rome's influence and Rome's power at that time. Have you heard the saying, all roads lead to Rome? I have a map up here. This is a real map of ancient Rome. The little black dot, center, but yet at the bottom of the page is Rome. This was during the height of the Roman Empire. And honestly, all roads led to Rome. Rome had the most influence of any other place. Rome had the most power than any other place. Rome had the most wealth than any other place. Rome literally controlled the world back then. And so you ask yourself, why? Why was this letter so important? Why did Paul have so much to say? Because if Paul could impact Rome, he could impact the world. Why is the Word of God so important in the United States of America? Because even though we're not what we used to be, we as a nation have so much influence and so much power across the world. And if we lose the Word in our country, we truly use the ability to impact the rest of the world for God. That's why we as a church, speaking general, but also speaking locally, we have to be a church of the Word. We can't be a church of spiritual inspirational stories or messages. We can't be a church based off of Christian entertainment. We can't be a church based off of a nice building and coffees and pastries. Even all that stuff is cool and nice, and I enjoy it. And I think most of you enjoy it because donuts are always gone at the end of the morning. When it comes down to it, you guys, we have to be a church of the Word. Because it's the Word that sustains us. It's the Word that empowers us. It's the Word that changes us. The Word of God is living, and it's God alive in us. And it's just as important for us to keep the Word alive in our families, in our communities, in our nation. And this is one of the reasons the church, the general body of Christ, is so important. Because in all reality, it's the only place that the Word of God is preached, declared, taught, and lived out in such a dramatic way. That's why missions work is so important, because it's taken the Word to the world. Just like it was important for Paul to write 7,000 words that carried a lot of weight, it's just as important for us to preach those words, because they still carry all that weight. Now, there's a biblical principle here. The biblical principle is God works strategically. There was a rhyme and there was a reason why Paul wrote his longest, heaviest letter and sent it to Rome. There was a reason. God was strategically working through Paul to get the word in Rome for strategic reasons. And those strategic reasons was global impact. See, God works strategically in your life. He works strategically in my life. Sometimes we don't know what God is doing. Am I the only one that gets aggravated and a bit frustrated when I don't know what God is doing in my life, but I know He's doing something? Yeah, I get frustrated. But I can calm my frustration, or I can maintain peace in my frustration, because I know that God is strategically working on my behalf in my life. That God works in strategic ways for me to be blessed, but He also works in strategic ways for people to be blessed through me. You might be in a confused state right now. You may not know what to do. You know, may not know what's going on. But if you have surrendered your life to the Lord, if you have made His will your will, then I want to encourage you, trust the Lord with all your heart, because He is strategically working on your behalf. You may not have peace in your circumstance, but you can have peace in the knowledge that God is strategically working for you. Did you know us being here at Westside was strategically done by God? This actually started back in Texas, 2 years before we moved to Santa Paula, 2 years before I met Pastor Ross. We was given the opportunity to be what is called DYDs in our organization, District Youth Directors. We was also lead pastors. And so I took on the position. Me and LaRonna were lead pastors, and that's when she really stepped up and became a lead pastor. My counsel came to me and said, Jonathan, you're going to be gone a lot. We are going to officially make her the associate pastor, and she's in charge when you're gone. And she began to take those reins. She still helped me in the youth positions, but she really began to lead this church in Texas. And I'm saying that to say this, because of that DYD position, I got reacquainted with somebody that I knew from my childhood. We hadn't talked in years, but I got reacquainted with him. His family is really cool with my family. My dad had preached for his dad. We've spent time together, but it had been years. But we got reacquainted because he was the guy in charge of me, over me. Well, we served in that capacity for 2 years. And at that particular church in Texas, I had said in the beginning, we'll be here 4 years and then we'll leave. And I just knew in my spirit, this is what was happening. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. I honestly wanted to be in California. And I don't know if he called me or I called him, but somehow or another, we got on the phone together and we were just talking life and talking ministry. And I shared my heart with him, and he said, "Jonathan, man, I'm really cool with the bishop in California, and I think you would be a great fit there." I didn't see the fit. He saw the fit. He said, "I'm going to call him for you." So he called the bishop for me, which then he called me back and said, "The bishop wants you to call him." I called the bishop. Me and the bishop talked, and the bishop was like, "I got two opportunities. I got an opportunity in Ventura, and I got an opportunity in Santa Paula. I would like for you to come out, and you can just check the places. But the district is over Ventura. I have another pastor that's over Santa Paula, and you will go and meet them." So we did all that, and that's when we met Pastor Ross. When me and LaRonna drove through Santa Paula, we knew this is the place. This is the place. Now, we had to sacrifice a lot. We sacrificed a big home. I sacrificed space. I mean, I sacrificed a lot, but I knew this is where we were to be. We met with the Rosses, fell in love with them. Long story short, they brought us to Santa Paula. That lasted for 5 years. I exited for about a year and a half, went back to Missouri and Texas, and then got a call and asked if I would be willing to come to Wasco. But I'm saying all that to say this, and then now here I am today. God was strategically working. He put me in a DYD position that got me connected to someone I hadn't talked to for years, who was connected to someone in California, who was connected to another person in California, and through that other person put me in this position to lead this church. I didn't do anything to make it happen. I didn't knock on California doors. I didn't call California numbers, nothing. I did nothing to make it happen. I talked with one friend, and that opened the door for steps for me to take. You cannot tell me that God did not strategically work in my life to get me where he wanted to get me. God will work strategically for you because he loves you. And guess what? See, God cared not just for my ministry. See, back then, like, I was a surf nerd. Like, I ate, slept, breathed surfing. And I wanted to go to California. I'm going to be a little bit honest, because I wanted to surf. And God not only blessed me with wonderful ministry opportunity, he also put me in one of the prime places in California to surf, and that is the Ventura coastline. I surfed my head off on the Ventura coastline. Why am I saying this? Because, see, God cares for you. God cares for your heart's desire. God cares about the blessings you need in your life. And God cares about the people you're called to. And if you will just trust the Lord, give your will over to him, follow wisdom, follow the Spirit, follow the steps, walk away from the doors that close in front of your face, God will strategically place you in a place that blesses you, but at the same time, blesses others. Amen? The 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this. I love this verse. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. God has some things prepared for you. And it's a strategic preparation. You just kind of have to get in his boat and let him lead you to where those places are. Amen. So, in ending today, what did we talk about? What we learned is Rome in the biblical times was dealing with some of the same cultural issues that we are dealing with today. And what God, through Paul, had to say to Rome was very important and therefore is going to be very important for us to hear today. Then the second thing is God strategically works in our life to bless us, but also to bless those whom we're called to. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us. We hope God spoke to you personally through this message and continues to encourage you throughout the coming weeks.